Today we celebrate Timothy and Titus, Saints Timothy and Titus, two bishops, two successors of the apostles already in the earliest times of the church, two bishops who were appointed or probably were consecrated bishops by Paul himself to help him in his work and to continue on in places where he had established and planted the faith. So he made Timothy and Titus bishops to continue on the work of shepherding and guiding the church entrusted to his care, and then he entrusted that to their care. And, you know, they're also two of the recipients of letters that Paul wrote back to them to help guide them in their pastoral ministry. That being an apostle, which is a special bishop, you know, one who has received his authority from Christ himself, just like Paul reminds us that he was not born, and he was born kind of out of the ordinary way, but he is equal to the other apostles, Peter, James, John, and all the original 12. But others, we know, have been appointed since then to continue on the work of the apostles, successors to the apostles, and those are the bishops of the Catholic Church. That's why one of the four marks, four signs of the true church founded by Christ, that it is one, holy, Catholic, and apostolic. That's what that means, that church, if it's the true church of Christ, can trace its roots back to the apostles. And we have, you know, if you could find out from Archbishop Tobin or some bishop, you know, who consecrated him, then who consecrated that bishop, and who consecrated the bishop who consecrated him, you could go all the way back and find the original apostle who consecrated all of them. There's one that we can do that for sure, who has received his authority from an apostle directly, and that is, you know, Peter and all the successors. Pope Francis can trace his roots back to Peter. But all bishops could, if they can follow that family tree and find out who they received their office of bishop from, have to go back to one of the original 12, because that's the only authority that Christ established. Those are the pillars of the church. That's why when we say we have received our faith from the apostles, that's literally what that means, is that they have consecrated someone who is a bishop today. Now, with Peter and his successors, it has a distinct mark in that the Holy Spirit guarantees that when these bishops come together, that person will have the authority of Peter when they truly elect someone validly to take the place of the successor of Peter's original see. And so this is one of the great graces, because our Lord established his authority. He gave it to men. And this is the problem with so many Protestant churches. You know, Joe Blow out in the pew thinks that he's going to be a preacher someday, and he just starts preaching, and that's where he sometimes, you know, thinks he's got his authority. But that's not how Christ wanted it. Christ wanted it to be that he had put his authority, placed it, by choosing 12 men and Paul in a special way, and that these men passed that authority on. And so then when they speak, our Lord even reminded them, he who hears you hears me. Now, today sometimes that can be misunderstood, that somehow that once a bishop, that everything it says is, the word of God. And that's not true, because their authority has limits, like everybody's authority has limits. Even the Pope has a limits to his authority, you know. He can't undo something. Even the Pope can't undo a sacramental marriage if it's a sacrament, and et cetera. But sometimes today people, you know, and this used to be the, sometimes this was a scapegoat that some priests, if there was an abuse in the diocese or something, they would say, well, the bishop has said it, and he's the successor to the apostles. Well, that bishop of diocese B cannot contradict the teaching of the church, which is above him, you might say. And so he doesn't have the authority to do whatever he desires in his diocese. He is first and foremost there appointed to do what Christ and the church has sent him to do. And his authority has its limits and it has its bounds. And it's to be used in the proper manner. It always say the bishops who are in union with Peter. Well, because the church knows that there may be some bishops who are not in union with Peter. And sometimes they may contradict the teaching of the church. In that case, we have to make distinctions as Catholics. We obey our bishop in all areas in which he has legitimate authority, and as long as it's in accord with the authority above him. You know, he can't contradict the Pope or the magisterium of the church. You know, a bishop in Diocese B cannot say, well, I think today all divorced and remarried Catholics outside the church can receive communion. He can't do that. He doesn't have that authority. And he can't make priest in his diocese go against that. The priest would have to disobey his bishop if he told him to do something which was contrary to the authority of him. It's just like in a family. You know, there's the children in the family, there's the mother and the father is the head. And if someone, you know, if the mother told the children to do something that was not right, the children, or contradicted what the which was stated by the authority above them, then they can't, you know, they have to say, well, I have to obey the one who has said, who is the higher authority. It's just the way it is. And, you know, and sometimes Catholics and sometimes even priests have a problem with making the proper distinctions. But if the bishop, even if he may be in error in one area, as long as he says something that is proper and legitimate to his authority, and he has that authority to command that, and it's in accord with the teaching of the magisterium of the church and the, you might say, the discipline of the church, that's to be obeyed. But if in some area where he isn't, that's not to be obeyed, and that's not being disrespectful or disobedient to that bishop, because in that case, it's not a valid obedience, you know. So we have to make these distinctions as Catholics. We have to use our Catholic common sense and know, in all things that we have to say whose authority, by whose authority are you saying this or doing this? And if it's a valid and legitimate command, then it is to be obeyed. But this is the guarantee that God has given us. In giving us the apostles and giving the successors to the apostles, he wants his people to be shepherded. He wants them to know where the authority is. You know, that we have someone guiding us, shepherding us, because we need that guidance. And what a blessing it is in a diocese when there's a bishop who takes that mandate and that commission and that consecration seriously and lives it out with the mind of Christ, as we all should. Whether we're a bishop, a priest, or a lay person, we should all be putting on the mind of Christ. And when that bishop does that, it's a great blessing. And the people live in concord and harmony. And when the bishop doesn't do that, well, we see the mischief of the devil working, and it can cause so much problems. There are some dioceses, sad to say, not only in this country, but maybe around the world, where the faith has been kind of reduced to rubble because not being shepherded well. And we have to recognize that. And not, you know, so we need to pray that God raise up good shepherds to guide the flock and to truly lead people in the footsteps of Christ. You know, one of the pastoral apostolic exhortations or letters that Pope John Paul II wrote was based on the words of Scripture, that he may send them shepherds after his own heart. That's what a good bishop, a good priest ought to be, is a shepherd after our Lord's own heart, that he wants to be Christ and speak Christ and do all that Christ would want to be done in the church and in his flock today. So let us pray for our bishops. So let us pray that our bishops be good, faithful, obedient servants and shepherds, because that will be guaranteeing that the blessing of Christ is coming to the local church, to the local parishes, because they have a shepherd who has the heart and mind of Christ. Let us pray that Timothy and Titus will look down from heaven today and assist all of our bishops, that they may truly be men who have the courage and conviction to speak up for the faith and to defend it with all their might, as they did and as they tried to shepherd the people in their day to follow Christ and to get to heaven. Praise be Jesus and Mary.